Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognised sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tora Radio Show, your one-stop shop for... Good goodness gracious me, it's the first time I've said that. For things that may occasionally be sports racing related.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Solid.
Send it.
Puck.
Let's
again, welcome to the Tora Radio Show. We do occasionally talk about sim racing.
That
news.
Must be a new record. We're barely seconds into the show and we're already...
Nobody's even been introduced yet. No record for shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
There you go, Midweek Motorsport. We go ahead and set the bar high on this one.
John, please don't fire us.
We're off to a promising start. Sure, goodness gracious me. So, I'm Matt Hunter, as usual. Bewildered, flustered, tired.
Other words beginning with B,
yeah.
Except
for the word flustered and tired. This week's episode of Sesame Street was brought to you by Idiocy.
He's also the normal Tora Radio
and
show.
The number...
By the number five.
Not the... Oh, goodness gracious.
Okay, let's get introductions out of the way before we go too far down.
Yeah.
Too late!
Alongside me, as usual, and trying to maintain some level of sanity, and that's saying something, Mr. Ben Williams.
Yes, hello. I am here trying to maintain what sanity we have, which really is an act of fertility, but... Someone's got to do it.
The sober voice of calm and reason. And the complete opposite of that, Mr. Lewis Satterley is here.
Yep, I was going to say, I am the complete voice of insanity, making Ben's life incredibly difficult.
I mean, there are other things to make
D case incredible. Point, I rest my case.
And somewhere in the middle.
In the middle? How dare you?
Purple coat about my game. Somewhere living on the Azores. Somewhere living on the Azores because he doesn't want to live in England, and God knows he desperately is slowly trying to make his way closer to America.
Swimming closer and closer. Yes, hello everybody. Or should I say, if I'm somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean right now?
Dear Lord.
I'll see myself out.
Just a reminder: you're listening to the Tora Radio Show, where we do.
And here comes the colossal squid.
Where we're three minutes in and we haven't spoken anything about Sim Racer yet.
Anyway, should we get started actually, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
I think the Final Kraken was released about two seasons ago of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yet somehow we're not off the air yet. I don't know how.
And we never looked back. How is it we still have guests that want to come on and join this?
I think they realize how much fun we actually have.
They just keep leaving the studio door unlocked so we can get in here every month.
Oh, dear. Hello, Angus. Thanks for joining us last month. We hope the 3 weeks in a darkened room is good.
Wait, the lead guitarist from AC/DC was here?
Not exactly.
Not that Angus. Okay, got it.
Oh, goodness gracious. You're going back a bit. That's the original.
Oh, the guy behind the burger was here.
Slightly mad cow disease.
Welcome to the Tora Radio Show, where we do occasionally
Let's carry on.
For those who are playing along at home, I've said that three times now.
This isn't even Conversation Street. This is absolute God, what the hell's happened, Ali?
I want that
Forza News.
Is there actually any Forza News? There is Forza News.
There is some Forza News.
Can we do the Forza News that people will want to learn about first, and then if they want to, do not turn off after the show. But if they wish to turn off partway through the show, do not turn off partway through the show.
Yes, please don't.
They can then listen to something else for 5 minutes whilst we talk about the other bit of Forza News.
So, another month means another update to Forza Motorsport 7. And again, I am quite fond of these monthly updates, because we get things like spotlight cars, and this time it is the 2018 McLaren Senna.
Not bad.
Not bad. It is also quite quick. Just saying.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
We also had more changes to the Forza race regulation stuff that I touched on last month. This month included the introduction of a public beta lobby so that people can still test out the track limits and the cutting penalties and things like that. They did say earlier this month, last week actually, that they're going to be backing the penalties down in May, and that private lobbies will get to start playing with Forza regulations in May as well. So,
I'm hoping we get a certain car when it comes to May.
No idea.
That would be very nice. They've already hinted on it a year ago.
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean, and if so, yes.
Yes.
Please.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Whether or not that actually happens, I don't know.
Anybody who's wondering what we're referring to, it is the new iteration of the IndyCar, not the one from last generation that we currently have been using.
The thing that we were promised last year.
Yes, like I said, a year ago.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm in the past.
No.
A year ago.
Apparently so is turn 10. Anyway.
I don't know
Shots fired. Oh,
I'm their biggest critic, and I'm sure they know it.
It's a shame you're not a firefighter, because that was some significant burn.
What are you talking about? I'm getting thrown out of the country for arson for burning.
If I may. Good grief.
Don't worry,
Turn 10 has been talking a lot in the last couple of months about their next Forza project. So I'm basically we're in Forza Motorsport 8, pending title, beta territory here. So everything that they're testing now is probably going to be ported directly into Forza Motorsport 8. Not that I'm not against that, but I like it when they actually let the community be involved in testing out features like this. So, be interesting to see how things progress. Other things they did this month where they changed some engine notes around. Basically, anything with a V12 got a new engine audio put in. So, your Ferraris, your Lamborghinis, your Aston Martins. There's some new Mazda rotary sounds put in and some various Porsche and Nissan rotary models as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, because didn't they have literally the exact same engine note for the 333 Ferrari and the Mazda 787?
They did.
You're kidding me.
They did, no, actually. It was rather horrifying, because I know they have the file somewhere from whenever they did Forza 4. The 787 wasn't in 4, was it?
5?
I can't help but think how there's an awful...
No, it wasn't four, but still.
I fully appreciate, and, you know, we are good friends with Turn 10, and on the whole, we thoroughly approve of their offerings. But I can't help but think there is a certain level of laziness when it comes to things like that.
Which is what I just said.
I know it is, but I wanted to say it.
Yeah. The only other really interesting thing for Forza Motorsport 7-wise is that there are 30 new Forza... Well, not new. 30-ish edition exclusive Forza exclusive car things. Basically, there were cars that you couldn't actually buy in-game previously that you can now buy. So, pretty much all the Forza editions and a couple of the other unicorn cars, such as the 1999 Diablo GTR or the 1988 TVR Cerberus V12.
That's about the only one I'd be interested in.
Yeah, everything else is Forza Edition. However,
yeah, I'm not interested
I will
in those.
Say that the Forza Edition Pontiac Trans Am GTA
yes.
car is very mean looking.
It's awesome. We tried that a couple weeks ago or something, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I will say the Acura NSX version of the, can you tell by the tone of my voice that I'm really interested? The Acura NSX Forza edition is quite good looking because it's the closest thing we've got to the GT3 car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be better if they added in the GT3 car.
It would.
Especially if it was in, say, an IMSA pack or something.
Yeah, I'm bewildered that we still don't have
an IMSA expansion. Something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet Real Racing 3 goes ahead and gets APIs added to their game.
I thought Real Racing 3 also had a GTD pack.
They did. Yeah, that was the last one that they had. And now they're already releasing all four DPIs into the game.
Doesn't it also have current Formula E?
Possibly.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of sad that a non-sim racing game that is specifically made for a cash grab that's on a tablet or a phone has more recent content than all the latest and greatest games that come out. It's a bit sad.
It's a bit alarming as well.
Speaking of cash grab mobile games, Onto Street.
Oh, that segue.
That was a great segue. You're welcome for the setup, Ben.
You're welcome.
For
those who don't know, Forza announced this month that they have pretty basic. Well, let me try this again. So there was a mobile game that came out a couple years. Was it last year? When did this game actually come out? I don't remember.
Nobody knows.
Because I don't play mobile racing games. Sorry, I don't. It was called Miami Street. That was on the Microsoft Store for a while. But then they pretty much just rebranded it as Forza Street. It's a mobile game.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's a mobile game that has pretty much all of... Well, a selection of Forza Motorsport 7's car list. If I'm going to read the little blurb that they say about it, collect and upgrade iconic cars from loot crates. Because it's a mobile game. True cinematic racing, where you can't see the finish, how close you are to the finish line, because there's no progress indicator on the screen when you're racing. God. Race on your terms. And by race on your terms, I mean you literally just push a button for gas, let off to brake, and I'm using air quotes around that, in the corner, and then put your thumb back down to accelerate out of corners. Now,
you have to pay extra.
Does it come with authentic steering wheel, phone lean, tilt, steering?
No, it does not. You have no steering.
What?
Oh my god.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. You legitimately do not have any steering.
So this is Scalextric then?
Yes. In the simplest terms, yes, it is slot cars.
Oh my god. I mean, and then people wonder why I'm so hard on turn 10.
Now, I'm not sure if Turn 10 had any actual development involved in this game.
It's still their
they
money.
They haven't said anything about what their involvement in the game has been. In what I've seen and read.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that the guy in charge of Forza Street was the one who was meant to be doing the IMSA expansion pack. Oh, no, wait, never mind.
I think you might have dreamed that.
There was a weekend. I'm just going to jump in quickly because there was a weekend review that came out on what day are we on now? Thursday. Oh, holidays. last Friday, then. The weekend review came out where Brian Eckford specifically pointed out because obviously there was and there has been some Twitter carnage about Forza Street. From some of the more vociferous members of the Forza community, who are obviously, and not unwarrantedly, distressed, shall we say, at what appears to be the dilution of what was once probably one of the best motorsport franchises on consoles. Brian Eckbird said on the week of review last Friday, Forza Street was created to welcome a new audience of players and has been developed as a Forza product from the very beginning by Turn 10 alongside an external partner.
Okay.
In 2018, the game was released in limited regions for early testing and feedback under the codename of Miami Street prior to its global launch. So hopefully that clears up any ambiguity that there was with that.
Which, coming from the person who has pretty much like, okay, Forza's, this is the game I play, this is the game I race on, but there's other features that I want, they read that and the thought of, so they're developing, they're taking stuff that they could time, to, like, oh, I cannot speak,
Not at the moment, you can't.
Not at the
Use
moment.
Use your words, so, Ben.
They're taking assets that could be used to be working on new content for Motorsport and Horizon games and putting it into a mobile game, which is, I mean, it's running on the real Unreal Engine, so it looks kind of meh on mobile devices. I'm assuming it looks better on the computer. I played it on my Surface, which barely supported it. But that's on me. That's not saying anything about the game. But they're using stuff that could have been time, developmental assets, etc. That could have been used on a motorsport game, but it's going to a mobile game. And I think several people pointed this out, that is kind of annoying to us. That feels, I don't know if it's rightly so, but it feels kind of ignored by Term 10. Like, the motorsports crowd saying, okay, can we get some modern race cars? Here's some drift cars. Fine, but we can get some modern race cars. Here's a Barrett Jackson pack that no one asked for.
We've got an IMSA partnership. Oh, great, there'll be some cars coming. No.
That's been a year since...
Yeah, we just got a partnership with IMSA.
Yep. Speaking of Barrett Jackson pack, that pack is reared its ugly head again, because as you remember from a couple months ago, where I basically went on a rant about the Barrett Jackson pack. It's now back where it should have been in the first place, Horizon 4.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
Same cars are there from the Forza 7, including the non-convertible convertible CUDA.
Are they literally charging people something from Forza 7 that you had to pay for, and now they're charging them again for the exact same content?
Unless you have the car pass.
So, in other words, you already paid for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Horizon 4. So literally, oh my.
Yep.
Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry, but Turn 10 to me is doing exactly what NASCAR is doing, imploding from the inside out because they got too big for their own heads.
Can I ask a question?
No, but go ahead.
Gee, thanks.
So yes.
False? I guess. Knock you down to size. My question is this. Hi, I'm Talkie Toaster.
Talkie McTalkerton, how are you?
I hope people get that reference. Wasn't there supposed to be a... given that God is infinite.
For God's sake. Get on with it.
unlike my patience. What wasn't there supposed to be a second expansion by now?
Yes.
Yes.
What do we know?
No news about that.
No,
oh, good.
And I'm kind of scared about it because, like, so I'm one of the few people that probably got the special edition of Forza because it came with the expansion packs, with the theory that the Hot Wheels expansion that was for Horizon 3 was so good that the expansions for Horizon 4 would probably be just as good. I'm starting to worry.
I still had high hopes that Goodwood was going to be one of them.
That was what I was... Yeah, that whole release thing at Goodwood seemed to be kind of foreshadowing some kind of Goodwood in the game, which would be amazing. If they added the hill climb into the game, I'd be like, yep, that's me sorted, bye. But the more and more we hear nothing about it, the more and more I'm having a feeling that eventually it's just going to be, oh yeah, this is the Forza Drift expansion.
I feel like...
No, that was this... That was this month.
I will say something very similar to what Lewis said a minute ago. It does feel like Turn 10 is... Even though Playground get now, let's not get bogged down with who develops what, because we all know Playground develops Forza Horizon.
Yes.
And Turn 10 develops Forza Motorsport. That's the way it is. That's fine. With the overriding umbrella of Microsoft Studios, which now owns Playground Games as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, as regards motorsport, I cannot help but feel like in embracing these wide ranges of motorsport, that an even more niche motorsport, I cannot begin to tell you how annoying it is for people to turn around and go, well, endurance racing and GT racing is so niche and hardly anybody wants to... It's like, if that was the case, then why have over 200 people signed up for British GT? Why do we have massive grids for all of our endurance races every single year in, year out? Why is it that most of the race cars that are represented in Forza Motorsport are GT-based? You know, it's not single seat. There's not single seaters. There's not many touring cars. God knows. You know, there's no rally cars. All this, that, and the other. It's GT based. So you've nailed your flag to that particular mast. Now you must actually act on it, guys, and bring people contemporary stuff that they've actually asked for years now. Semi rant over. I'm not being funny. But we've had two iterations of the McLaren race car now pass by with nothing. We've only just picked up last year, the Aston GT3, just as it was being decommissioned and the new one coming online. We're now an addition behind what Mercedes are running at the moment, and in all likelihood, that will be replaced in the next couple of years.
We're also behind an Audi, we're also behind in... Well, we don't actually have a Lamborghini GT3 car.
Let's not even talk about Ferrari.
Ferrari, we don't have... any of the 488 GT3.
What car do we have from Ferrari? Is it the 458 still?
It's still the 458, yes. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And that's been 458. And you're already talking about replacing the 458 here pretty soon as well.
Yeah.
So
realistically, let's think about this. They've announced, they've turned to and have said that they're developing Forza 8. Forza 8 is going to be a launch game for the next Xbox, which will come out, I suspect, next year.
So it would be just like Forza 5, only probably just as bad, or maybe slightly better.
Probably worse.
what it means is that people have been cheated out of new tracks, they've been cheated out of new contemporary race cars that can actually have other things to battle with. Literally, the only good things that they added that had other things that they could legitimately fight against was the Aston GT3, because arguably it could still fight against the Bentley, and the BMW M8 and the new Porsche RSR, because those two are in the same class. Okay, the Ford was already in there, fair enough. But the game has gone so far away from what it was, and it is getting to the point where even people like me who have built massive communities and worked on this many, 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 many years. Even people like I are looking at all my friends and seeing what they're now operating on and going, am I a dinosaur? Am I holding on, you know, am I stuck in the past here? Should I be moving on and doing these cool things on other games and stuff? And that's not nice. That's not a good position to be in. So come on, Turn 10. Just look at what we've done with British GT. Look at the videos that we're posting up with them. Look at the cars that are in that, and look at the demand and the number of people who reply to us and go, yeah, we really want to see those cars in game. End of rant. Next topic, please.
Well, there's a reason why Turn 10 has a reputation of not listening to their community. They don't like having that persona, but they literally live up to it.
Yeah, they won't do anything about it.
Every single day.
I don't 100% agree with that particular element of it, but
I'm going
I
to
do
say
think...
one quick bit, and then we need to move on because we've literally spent 20 minutes just talking about Forza. I think it's gotten better than what has been with Turn 10 actually communicating with the community.
I'll admit, yes, that is the case, but
yeah,
still,
because with the whole Forza Race Marshals program, I think all of us are part of that.
Yeah,
all
I think
four
so.
Of us. Yeah, we have like direct line to Mechberg, to Copilot, all the like community developers. There's also the new Forza Discord, which if that Discord's so huge that you literally can't put anything in there and guarantee that it will be seen because it's just like bleh.
Yeah.
But it, I think that it's gotten significantly better with their communicating with it as it has been in the past. Like, they didn't, when Forza 7, before Forza 7 came out, they didn't even acknowledge its presence publicly. And now they're announcing on their monthly stream, which is also something that they didn't do before Forza Motorsport 7, saying, okay, we're going to go start working on the new game now. So, it's gotten better. Could stand to be better, but it's a lot better than it was. Moving on.
Formula 1 2019.
Woo! Actual good news.
Yeah. Sweet end of the spectrum of the racing developmental.
Codemasters, developer that, as far as I can largely say, does a bloody good job in most things they do. I just want them to bring the Toka license back.
Yes, please.
Yes.
F1 2019, we briefly touched on this last month. There was an announcement trailer. There hasn't actually been a huge amount more news. I think we're covering this because the other two gentlemen who are now sat here weren't sat here before. And I know, obviously, Jordan is particularly excited about this. In fact, yes, we did talk about it because it also happened to be the same time as your wonderful Brawn video that came out.
Yes.
Which is very, very good. We should we should post that again, I have to say. We'll repost that today, actually. Get a few more.
Yay, more views.
Yes, coming out 2 months or so earlier than normal. Normally they come out in September. It's now coming out in the summer, June or July, I think.
Yeah. June 28th.
June 28th. So basically July, so I wasn't far off, but it is June. Now we've added Formula 2, which I think is an absolutely brilliant thing.
At last.
Yes.
As you can tell, dear listener, Jordan's a bit excited about that.
Although
I have a bit of a soft spot for the F1 games.
Though I am confused as to why GP3 isn't. It's not GP3. Is it?
Well, we don't necessarily know that it isn't. I have a theory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's time to put my tin foil hat on, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Because this is the first year, if correct me if I'm wrong, that GP3 is now operating under the F3 name. So my tin foil hat theory is that Codemasters have waited until now because they can get both of them, and it makes much more sense because they're all Formula. So you've got Formula 3, 2, and 1. So I still have a slight idea that maybe that they'll add Formula 3 in before launch and they'll do a last-minute announcement. Oh, yeah, we've got Formula 3 too. Or they might do it as DLC.
Which would suck, but would also
Yeah. Again, it's better than the DLC they've done in the past for Formula One games.
Right. As in any,
which is mostly none. Apart from, like, 2013 was the only game that ever had any DLC, and it was amazing. And they haven't done
it. The last one had added some more historic stuff, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Which I really liked.
There was another very much anticipated thing that they've added in for 2019.
If you say liveries, I'm going.
Liveries.
Yes, but having actually read their blog,
it is templates.
It's ambiguous as to whether it's you can add your own stuff or here's a preset list of liveries like they have in Dirt.
I think the thing I believe it is so you've got various templates and you can change the colours of the templates. And
much
I'm
better
assuming,
than nothing.
I'm assuming you'll be able to change some of the sponsors. Again, like you can do on Dirt 4, where you can change the sponsors around. Which, again, for an F1 game, when we know how much F1 games are tied up in licensing issues, for an F1 game to have any kind of customization on that is quite decent. So I'll take that rather than... Of course, like I would love for them to have a full, you know, Forza livery editor and stuff like that, but we just know that the licensing isn't going to let that happen. So this is a happy medium.
Very true. And sticking on the Codemasters theme, Dirt Rally 2, we have now the next installment of DLC coming our way, which is Sweden. Rally Sweden, which I'm very pleased with because I very much like the snowy stuff.
There is kind of an absence of snowy stuff currently, isn't there?
I know there was in Monte Carlo, and I have to say, I found Monte Carlo exceptionally challenging.
Oh, yeah, Monte Carlo is insane.
Well, it's because it goes from snow to ice to asphalt, back to ice, back to asphalt, back to snow, ice.
And then presumably off of a cliff. If you're
and
me anyway.
And then it's basically ground, sky, ground sky,
you know, my usual habitat.
Tree.
If you're lucky.
Wow, they went so high detail they put grave markers in here where you land.
Oh no.
That's the only part of the game I've seen.
My old friend.
No, no.
Dear me.
Anyway.
No, don't worry, everybody.
This is what it feels like when you come off the Silent Hill.
No, I know there's obviously there's a little bit of consternation from some corners that it's just rewrapping stuff they've already passed out in other games. That being said, I think having played both, I think this edition of Monte Carlo was significantly better. Now I've obviously not tried Sweden yet, but I'm very much looking forward to doing so. I've got high hopes. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And then after that, they've got Rally Germany as well, I believe. I haven't seen much of Rally. I'm not particularly on the rallying radar. The most I usually watch is Rallycross. But is Rally Germany a particularly good one?
Yes, because
it's an asphalt rally, isn't it?
It is, because it's done. It used to be done around, and I think part of it still is. It was done around old, tank training ground, so you've got a really rickety asphalt with semi-hidden concrete roundels which can take wheels off.
Ooh.
And then you end up going through vineyards and stuff like that as well. It's quite diverse as tarmac rallies go, but it's very technical and there's lots of chicanery and all that sort of stuff going on. Really like it.
There is one rally that I feel like we're missing. And particularly me and Matt are going to think this Welsh rally. Where's where? Please.
Well, that's the Rally GB thing that they have it labeled as.
Wales Rally GB.
But yeah, well, we need that scene.
Rally, I really want to see come back the Safari Rally.
Ooh,
well, that needs to happen in real life as well. And there was talk about it. but yeah, I mean rallying. Jeremy, I mean, I've always been a fan of rallying since the 90s, to be honest.
Yeah.
And obviously grew up with Colin McRae games and everything. So I love the fact that Dirt Rally is difficult. I love the fact you have to really work hard.
It's so tough.
But that's what we need. I'm really pleased that games are getting to this stage now where they're actually getting difficult again. They're not just, you know,
the same cookie cutter thing.
Or just catering for the everybody wins here market.
You all get medals. Thing.
No, sports day is difficult. There are winners and there are losers. And if you're a loser, you're walking home, boy.
Yeah.
You're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
If you're not first, you're 20 feet down the cliff.
Upside down.
If you're not
Sky
first,
ground.
You're not Ricky Sky Bobby.
But no, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I picked up Dirt Rally quite late, like only about a week ago or something, because it was in the sales. Yeah. And I hadn't played any of the old rallying games that you mentioned where it was genuinely difficult. And it was quite refreshing to be struggling first.
And what I really like about this version of Dirt Rally, I mean, this is kind of turning into a review. If I remember correctly, whenever Dirt Rally 1 came out, we were kind of hard on it, saying that it was a little bit too difficult. Which, I mean, I still stood by that at the time, and I can't really go back on my word on that. But because we've had a lot of games nowadays, actually, have gotten a lot more intense on the difficulty side and everything, I don't think they've changed any of the difficulty on Dirt Rally 2, and I think it's just right now.
I think it was just a little ahead of its time.
I think the original one was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, not entirely sure how I'm trying to say here.
The thing is, I think what you're trying to say is the market has now the industry has now realized that the market is still there for games that actually challenge you. And
yeah,
you know, because as I said a couple of shows ago, obviously I'm mad into my retro gaming at the moment. And as we discussed in that, I said, still stick to gameplay out is significantly more important than graphics.
Absolutely.
And I still get a lot of pleasure from playing a lot of the older games because they're difficult, because you had to really think and work at them to succeed. Then we went through a period where I think the industry was like, we're so massive, we just need to make tons of money, and the only way we're going to do that is by having games that people can get satisfaction from and complete really easily, yada, yada, yada.
QEA,
and others. And now we're sort of heading back into a period where I think developers are realizing that actually the demand will always be there, because the generation that grew up with difficult games are still buying games now. They're just buying more niche stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I will happily buy, if I had a PC to run it, or if it comes onto console, I will happily buy Assetto Corsa Competizione, because I know it's tough and it will be difficult, but it's the game that I want to play because it challenges me, and I know it will. Dirt 2 is the same. You know,
well, and here's the other thing. Granted, Codemasters is coming in, and like Jordan said, they're ahead of the tide where there is a market for the difficult game. And to prove that more and more is with how easy games have gotten. How many people over the years have been leaving consoles and going over to iRacing? Because it's realistic.
Yeah.
iRacing has exploded within the last 5 or 6 years. Granted, their content that they're coming out with is absolutely great lately, but it is absolutely exploding and almost saturating the market, I would have to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should move on, because there is obviously still significant news. Ben, you had some, speaking of other titles that aren't Forza.
Yes. Gran Turismo Sport news, just because, you know, we try to cover everything on this show. Which we do
try to be
neutral. Semi-successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. There was a bit of a kerfuffle with GT Sport's latest update this month, because it was actually announced kind of by Porsche by accident. So, announcement was made on Forza Motorsport, Porsche Motorsports Japan's Facebook page, which talked about how there was going to be a exclusive Porsche competition running on Japan for GT Sport players, and said that it would be an online event using the sports game mode after the next update came out. And it's said to start on this Sunday. So, Gran Turismo Sport fans got kind of a early heads up that it's supposed, the update was going to be this week at some point. They also dug into the files as they normally do after the last update and pulled out the cars for this update, which include the Audi TT Coupe 3.2 Quattro, the Gran Turismo X 2014 Competition, the Honda Fit Hybrid, the Porsche 962C Lewis, the Renault R8 Grotti, and the Toyota Sprinter Torador, basically the GT80, or the Apex 86, that car.
The Rocket Bunny.
The Rocket Bunny, yeah.
GT86.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the new one. The original version from the 80s that the GT86 got the name from.
Gotcha.
The Torino. No, not the Torino. The Torino. I'm always pronounced
that car.
The Tsunami. Okay, we got it.
Yeah.
The initial D car. Good. How's that?
I need a PlayStation.
By the way, the Super League Formula car on Gran Turismo Sport is awesome. Don't know if you guys ever talked about it, but it is awesome.
What car? I'm sorry.
The Super League Formula car. That was a DLC from...
Oh, the SF19, yes.
Yes.
The car that makes me wish I had a PlayStation.
Oh, it's a rocket of a machine.
I will admit, and I've said this publicly in a couple other places, every time there's an update to Gran Turismo Sport that says, hey, we just introduced a feature which people have been asking for in Forza Forever, I start looking at PlayStation prices.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, best time to get one is actually during the holidays, I will say that. So anybody who's looking out there, I got mine for $200. You can do it.
But then I also remember. Remember that the next PlayStation is coming out next year.
That's the thing that's putting me off.
Yeah.
Well, it's the next console generation.
It is Thursday, so we're going to do a throwback Thursday. If you want a PlayStation, wait until the holidays because they're $200. And if you don't have a PlayStation by then, you should really should get one.
Hashtag you really.
Anyway.
Back to what we're talking about. Yeah, a little bit of a set of course of news. It's moving out of its testing phase. Yay! Moving out of early access. And will be with us on May 29th.
Ooh, so not May entirely, 29th, console. Huh?
Don't know. Not entirely sure that that's enough time to get all the rest of the cars they don't have in it yet that they're supposed to have.
Maybe we'll just see one huge mic drop whenever the game gets released.
That'll be the Wednesday after the 500. Look at that. Yes, yes. Yeah.
And the mic drop it would have to be because it would contain the new Bentley, the delayed NSX, the new Aston Martin, probably the old Aston Martin as well.
And then they could do a really good mic drop and also announce that it's coming to console.
Yeah, that would be quite cool. It'd be a triple mic drop and announce that they've actually got GT4 in it as well.
Oh. Could you imagine?
I can't imagine.
I mean, gentlemen, let's not put the rose-colored glasses on yet. We all remember what the launch of Assetto Corsa was like on console.
Oh, yes.
That's why I didn't pick it up for several months afterwards.
I was at the Chiefs-Wasps match a couple of weeks ago when Blancpain was at Monza. And the rugby, this has not happened, I don't think, in the 5 or 6 years I've been going to Chiefs. The rugby was so bad that I actually found myself streaming the Blancpain race.
Oh, God.
So I was sat there in the stand.
Watch a race.
I know.
No, it's
I
was bad sat there in the stand
watching. Oh, it was on YouTube. It didn't cost me anything. Sat there watching.
We had to pay to go sit in the stadium and watch a race.
I have a season ticket. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was watching Blancpain. And I have to say, more specifically, I was watching the GT4 qualifying, one of the practice sessions, I forget which. And it was just the variety in the grid these days is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it really is.
I was really impressed. And because obviously I haven't really understood or believed what I'd heard when someone said, oh, yeah, no, the Alpine does GT4. And then I saw them, two of them. And I believe Soleil Arai, who used to do, who raced in the Pescarolo, obviously Pescarolo's at Le Mans, is in one. It's brilliant. There's so many like really big names in GT4. Very cool. Anyway,
real quick, I can interject real quick. You said something about a variety in the field.
Yes.
Tour racers, are you listening?
Yeah, it's not all about Mercedes and Aston Martin, you know.
It's all about Mercedes or M6s or S2000s.
More on that shortly.
Yes.
Hear that, turn 10? Give us a car list that's actually balanced.
Just give us a car list.
I was waiting for that.
I wasn't going to go that
far. Hey, Matt, I wasn't going to go that far. Being thrown out of the country for arson?
I'm just going to have to work this out. What GT4 cars, actual GT4 cars, do we have in Forza Motorsport at the moment?
We have one KTM.
Then you have the outdated Maserati Gran Turismo, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't even race anymore?
No.
No.
Yeah, see?
Forza. Woo! Everyone's favorite.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. We want to appreciate your game. Just do better, okay?
Yeah, make us appreciate it.
The cars that are currently available in the European GT4, sorry, the GT4 European series, the Alpine A10, the Aston Martin Vantage GT4, the new one, the Audi R8 LMS GT4, the BMW M4 GT4, the Chevrolet Camaro GT4.R. I don't know how this is any different, but the Ecris M4 GT4, this is just branding, the Ginetta G55 GT4, the KTM Crossbow GT4. Oh, we have that. The McLaren 570S GT4, the Mercedes AMG GT4, the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 CSMR.
The Audi GT4.
There's a few things missing there, isn't there, gents?
Mm-hmm. Just a few.
Yeah, there's also a Mustang GT4, an Audi GT4.
There's many things. Anyway, yeah. But suffice to say, it was a very, very good race. Very well represented. I think there was like something like 50 plus cars. Absolutely brilliant. Very, very cool. And I can't wait till they come over for the race at Silverstone in May. I think that's right. Should be May. We need to shoot onto some Toro news, but which does actually include a very quick roundup with Lewis, because we are now 2 months late for talking about your Sebring exploits and a car to race what you did.
Well, there was 1 month late on the Sebring exploits, and it's only because I had very noisy nephews who would not go and take a nap. That way I could join you guys last week, and I figured I'd spare you guys. Anyways, Sebring was absolutely great. It was a great week to have out there. Got welcomed onto the Midweek Motorsports show once again, live with Hindy there, and they invited me up into the booth. That's always a pleasure to do that little spot that on the show, and hopefully we can continue to do that every year, as that's becoming a pretty good tradition there. And I would say that there was almost too much racing for that, because there was times, we didn't even have a quiet night once when we got inside of the track. So, and I think the earliest night that we had was a 10 p.m. finish after starting at 8 a.m. So we had 14 hours of driving on the shortest day. So it was quite loud for a while. And yeah, overall, it was a great weekend altogether. And then a couple weeks after that, did a 24-hour go-kart race where we did horribly because we had miserable luck. We had part failure after part failure after part failure. So that was always fun, and probably one of the more trying 24-hour kart races I've ever done. Actually, it is the most trying kart race I've ever done. But at the time, it didn't seem like I was having a lot of fun. But the more I think back on it, it was actually still pretty fun, even though it was a bad day. So my one coup that I got out of it, though, is that I did, when the kart was running good, pass Jordan Taylor by reading traffic much better than he did. He was stuck behind two guys. I did this absolutely wild man pass where I passed all three of them at once into a brake zone, and I was proud. And then a couple corners later, he finally got around them and just blew right by me. But I read traffic better than Jordan Taylor, and I was happy.
Well, there you go. From now until the end of time, whenever we are winning an argument against Lewis, he's just going to end it by saying, well, I passed Jordan Taylor. Yep.
And in fairness, that is quite a good gambit.
That is quite a good thing. Yeah.
Hey, like I said, it was my brief moment of glory, and it lasted a whole two corners, because then you just blew right by me again.
Your challenge, Lewis, because you do seem to walk in different circles to us, your challenge is to get Jordan on the show sometime this year.
To be honest with you, you know who would probably be easier to get onto the show is one of your friends, French. So,
oui?
Jordan Taylor?
or because I know he's a fan of Forza as well, I could possibly get a Zach Veach on this show.
Also cool.
Zach Veach would be cool. Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I shall reshape the challenge to suit you. Your challenge this year is to get a famous racing driver onto this show.
Hey, I might be able to do that.
Oh, for goodness.
Say Jordan's got more.
I've been interviewing some people recently. # go read the checkered flag. It's the worst # I've ever come up with.
Shameless plug by Jordan right there. Anyway.
Shameless.
Other motorsport journalism outlets are available, but no, probably are slightly better written.
Excuse me. How dare you?
Hi, Rob Ladbrook.
Is this the one time that you're going to try and say that motorsport is better than anything else?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Thank you.
I have to remain neutral in these matters, especially as TCF is on the side.
Speaking of journalism and motorsport and everything, we got to go ahead and get our digs in now. Tiger Woods' Master victory was not the greatest comeback in sports history.
No, it's not.
Okay, I can name two people right off the top of my head right now that have had a much bigger struggle and have competed since then. One Mr. Niki Lauda and one Mr. Alex Zanardi. Okay.
Yes. I'd also throw Billy Munger into that mix.
I'm off my soapbox now. We're good.
Okay. Tour news.
Yeah,
the last 10 minutes of the show.
Yes, more tour news.
Tour news.
Yeah, it smells great.
Not even gonna touch that.
Don't even talk about
the British GT.
Smells like victory.
Should we talk about the British GT esports, gentlemen?
Yes, please. Hello, fans of British GT.
So if you've been living under a rock the last month, you would know that we are the official esports partner for the British GT series. And we had our first round.
Two weekends ago. Yes, because last weekend was the real thing at Alton Park.
Yes. At our first round, the entry list has been quite interesting this year. We have 220 drivers currently registered for series. They include from teams such as the Aerox guys, who were used to be the FTR guys, the AMS guys, GTR, LSEM, Williams Esports, yes, that Williams, SVR, Pure Tech, AMR, JSR, Prod, all of the typical Toro races that you would expect to see at a Toro event. The racing was quite good. It was, of course, broadcast by our friends over on YMTV. Thank you again for helping us out with that again.
Yeah, they've been doing a great job lately for us, actually.
And thank you to guest commentator Angus Fender, who obviously races in British GT for reals.
Mm-hmm. For real reals.
Is that lead guitarist to AC/DC again?
Anyway, top three for GT3 for the first round was Williams Mitch, Williams Roadrunner, and Aerox, and I always pronounce his name incorrectly, Burkett.
Man, Ben, sounds like your Williams team did a really good job.
I cannot take any credit for Williams. I might share a last name with...
I don't think Williams...
Oh, you meant the other Williams, Williams, not the Williams.
No, not the Williams. Okay. I might share a last name with Sir Williams, but I'm not sure if I'm actually related to him. I highly doubt it.
Well, in fairness, it would explain why they've taken a downturn if you had any kind of input into it.
Wait a minute.
All right, George's going to go ahead and get banned from the country for arson now.
Anyway, in GT4, we had JSR South taking the victory, followed by Aerox Fettel and Aerox McQueen. So, congratulations to all the racers. It's something that we alluded to earlier. There's not a wide variety of cars in our car selection list this year. In GT3 alone, there are 53 M6s. In GT4, there are 26 McLaren AMG GT4s. So there's clearly a favorite.
Hang on, how do you get a McLaren AMG GT4?
Mercedes.
He's thinking about the SLS, the SL.
Yeah, he said yes. McLaren SLS. It was like, how do you get a McLaren SLS? AMG.
The Toro Radio Show. How to you trigger can't make motorsport one mistake.
Fans. One mistake.
One mistake in 2 years of broadcasting. No, three. It's been three. Has it been three since I've been on the show?
The one that got through editing.
Mistake.
Ben,
I don't even
remember. Ben,
anyway,
when
you're having this much fun, Ben, you don't bother keeping count.
Yeah. No. Anyway,
yes.
Jordan, do you want to talk about that TASCAR real quick?
That's not allowed. How dare you?
Did you all turn left a lot?
Well, everybody else did. If we're talking about my personal race, it lasted 14 laps. But,
Jordan, did you slide on the roof a lot?
I didn't even get the chance.
Jordan, did you get a lot of hang time?
A flash of light
car.
And then nothing else.
I hate you all. I specifically said, listeners, if we're talking about TASCAR, I want nothing to do with it because I may have had a, let's call it a mechanical failure 14 laps into the race and lagged out of A-Lobby. But my beloved co-hosts have decided to ignore that.
I want to change time.
Need to remind you that of the four of us, you were the only one who was actually there because I was out of town for the race.
Oh, right. I see.
Ben and Lewis, well, I can't help but think how he's so selfish and he thinks it has to be all about him. There were other people there, you know.
Well, I know.
I've assumed I was the only one that mattered.
no, you're the only one that we make fun of.
When I lacked out, it was like, who's the world going to revolve around now? Like, Jesus. But no, it was won by Nick Totten, I believe, Daytona. My good friend Nick Totten won from pole position, I believe. I think he got pole. And yeah, I don't really know what else happened because I was busy crying myself to sleep.
Flying in the air, trying out for hang time in the Olympics. Got it.
That was last year. Actually, we're two rounds into... No, hang on. We're three rounds into Tesco now. I can't remember what week we're on. And I haven't flipped yet. So...
There's still time.
You know.
There's
still time. Well, hopefully we didn't jinx you, so...
Anyway, this weekend is April 28th. This weekend is April 28th. Well, one day of it will be. And that's the second round of British GT from Circuit de Catalunya, the Grand Prix circuit, starting from 8 o'clock UK time. Hopefully we'll see... I want to say... Sorry, I know we've gone back to British GT a little bit. I want to say, I think for we had over of the 200 entrants that were signed up, we had well over 170 actually take part, and that was magnificent.
Mm-hmm. You can imagine the administrative nightmare that caused.
Yeah, Ted did a brilliant job, absolutely brilliant, mm-hmm. and everyone behind the scenes, all the hosts, everyone, fantastic work. So, mm-hmm. massive thank you to all that.
Yes, just real quickly, in the last 3 minutes of the show here, just want to mention GT300. The fifth round is taking. Fifth round is taking place currently for the UK session. Going into tonight's race, we have an army of S2000s in the top 10. Literally in the UK, all but four are S2000s. With SFM Drift and Hero leading the points lead, followed by Mr. Drive, and then all of the Jack Pro in the UK. In the US, it's AMR Lawrence, LMR Diop. LMR Diablo.
Oh,
LMR Harmonic and LZR Diablo. There's one letter difference. Give me a break. I should mention that all those drivers that I just mentioned all drive S2000s because the S2000 is bit OP in this series. And by a bit, I mean it's completely OP.
What are you talking about? I thought it was going to be the Plymouth Prowler.
Oh, no,
it's not going to be. It was not the Plymouth Prowler, as Harmonic found out after the first round.
I watched the stream of the first round, and it was where was it? Indy Grand Prix, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And every time they came onto the straight, it was just Harmonic like with a parachute. Oh dear.
Yes, racing continues, as I said this evening, at Coda West. So. Next
might be a little bit better for the Prowler.
Nice series and a nice bow, and hopefully never talk about the Honda S2000 again.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Honda S2000.
Hey, shall we do a spec cup of the Honda S2000?
To quote you, Jordan, I hate you all.
Hey, Jordan, a friend of mine got a Honda S2000 Tour Edition.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Matt, close the show, please.
Shenanigans.
Well, as Ben puts a poultice on his head and takes 24 hours in a darkened room, that leaves me and the other two mad inmates to close this month's show. God help us all.
Some of us more than others.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Is this the Tour Radio Show theme tune now?
Sadly, I think it's going that way.
Yes. I'm going to make it for next month. Lord.
Okay, so thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you to Lewis, to Jordan, to Ben for joining me for yet another month of
shenanigans,
and occasional talk, and occasional talk about esports racing. Shut up, Beaker. And,
me.
And goodness me. And next month's show will be May, so we'll be heartily looking forward to the Indy 500.
Yes, it's Indy month.
We will probably, hopefully, have some news on Le Mans.
We will.
Maybe.
Excellent. There will be news on Le Mans. We shall have a little update with British GT to see how everything's going on there. We shall probably also have some news on the upcoming GT Cup eSports series as well, that's coming during the summer. And, of course, we may possibly have a guest. Who knows? Exciting, isn't it? Thanks for listening. You can obviously talk to us or tell us to shut up at @TheReal_Tora on Twitter, or of course if you want to get involved in all this craziness, head over to www.racetora.com for more information. Oh dear. Bye bye for now. See you next month.
Shenanigans.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.